You're listening to episode 68 of the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast, the only CES review that matters. So kind of to go back, the other thing that we saw a lot of was this idea of intelligent homes. So this was kind of cool.
Smart homes,
yeah. So
they call it an intelligent home, but come on.
Yeah, they're
smart.
Sounds
so much cooler to say smart home. It's not an intelligent phone.
Exactly. So once again, this is sort of a trend that definitely started in the middle of last year that people have really been catching on to.
Well, let's be clear. There's been one company that kicked off the coolness of it. It's been here, and people have wanted it for a while. But the second that the Nest thermostat came out, I think light bulbs went off. Where people were like, oh, that could be cool. And it became sexy again, if you will.
Yeah, and so one of the big things is, you know, companies trying to be, you know, one thing that people are looking for is standardization. You know, it's like, you know, power supply into the home really requires standardization in order for it to work. And so there's a certain amount of standardizing, and there's also a lot of companies that are trying to leverage existing infrastructure, smart light bulbs, you know, and this goes back to the idea of power, you know, wireless blenders, wireless toasters, all sorts of cool, fun stuff.
One example here is really cool with Belkin's Wemo.
Yeah.
Says it adds a plug-in intelligence to devices like light bulbs and appliances that are otherwise immune to Moore's Law. A simple visual programming language lets you define conditions and their impact. For example, alert me when a motion sensor detects my dog is on the couch, and then turn on a speaker so I can correct his behavior wherever I am. Everything is controlled from an app on whatever device you want.
Right.
That's cool.
So definitely going in the direction of, you know, bringing this to you. But I definitely got the sense, my feeling on this is that you have a bunch of individual pieces of technology that are really designed to kind of loosely use existing technologies, and they really cater towards the enthusiasts. There wasn't anything that I saw in the area of home automation that got me really excited, is outside of the, like, you know, wireless stuff, that I was like, we'll see this company doing this stuff in 10 years and really making a big difference. Which is unfortunate, but Belkin's Wemo is cool. I think it's a foundational technology, but I still think one of the big things that's going to be required before you start to get major automation is the idea of a central communication system and being able to, you know, very easily and relatively cheaply, you know, swatch out electrical plugs and connect devices to the internet. You know, I don't think, I think that there's still a ways to go, but this definitely, you know, this helps our prediction show, where we basically said, you know, home automation is going to be a big thing this year, and you're already seeing the beginning of it at CES. This is how it's mm-hmm. happening. So there were a lot of different, another big thing was there's a lot of different companies that are working with different interfaces that you can deal with. This one's, okay. I don't know, this one's sort of a really, it happens every year, because what is CES? CES isn't about computers and desktops and laptops anymore. CES has very much become about, and this has been true for quite a few years, the TVs and cameras. That's what they do. There are always a couple computers. There are always a couple of
there are a ton of laptops last year. Tablets.
Yeah, and tablets are a very exciting thing right now, but the headliners still that grab everybody's attentions are TVs and cameras. So anytime you talk about screens and interfaces, they get big. There are a couple of companies, Vuzix and Tobii. Oh, jeez. Get names I can pronounce, you guys. They're dealing with head-mounted displays.
That was the only web domain that was available.
Exactly. And, you know, they're dealing with head-mounted displays, heads-up displays, stuff like that. You know, kind of your run-of-the-mill. Last year was really exciting because it was, like, the first time we saw everybody come in and say, look, in 2 or 3 years, we're going to have this. And so every year we're going to get an update from these companies where they basically say, look, the technology is getting better, cheaper, more powerful, it lasts longer, it can do more. Great. When can I buy it? 2 to 3 years. Fantastic. So that was kind of the big update out of those companies. One of the ones that everybody's excited about is a Kickstarter, though. Kickstarter project. Oculus Rift. There's this dude. I can't remember his name. He decided he wanted a virtual reality head-mounted display, and it was driving him nuts that there wasn't a good one out there. And there was some very, there were some big limitations to the technology. So he came up with a prototype that he tried out. It worked pretty well. Put it on Kickstarter. Got tons of money through his Kickstarter project. Cool. And it's become this huge project. And they were doing a lot of demos at CES. And the really exciting thing here is it was getting reviews that lived up to the hype of the product. People were basically cool. Going, yeah, this thing's really awesome. It's very cool. It works because one of the big things that he was dealing with is like it's got a curved display that just has a huge angle of view, so you can actually get fully immersed in the screen. It's got really good head tracking. They're working on getting good games that work with it and make it a lot of fun. So that's been really exciting. Oculus Rift is doing some cool work. They raised $2.5 million.
That's awesome, dude. Give me some more heads up displays. I love heads up displays.
So that one's kind of a big deal for the pictures. The next one is biometrics. This one's
always in a big one. Yeah,
exactly. And biometrics really has taken two directions. I'll say there's three areas that biometrics are really taking off. And they break it into two kind of weird
categories.
I got my
biometric device right here.
Oh man, exactly. Your pedometer. The oldest of the biometrics. And I'm gonna break into these technologies into three different categories really. There was preventative health, there's active health, and then there's identification.
Or diagnostic or
well, yeah, no. Anyways, so your doctor ID is basically they're coming up with a bunch of different stuff. Like there was a new what's it called? It competes with the Nike Fuel Band and the Jawbone. The Fitbit. There we go. The Fitbit was this like really big, big deal. It's basically competes. Yeah, it's a health monitor that like can like keep track of what you're eating. It wirelessly connects to your devices. They got a pretty cool app. Everybody was really jazzed.
I think it can also track how you sleep, if I remember correctly.
Right. Yeah, it can do sleep tracking and stuff like that. And so that one was one of the big ones that got attention early on in the week, but they had all sorts of different stuff.
I love this because, it should be no shock that, there is a health issue with Americans. Mostly they weigh a little much. Biggest Loser started up a new season, so they're giving us all the gory stats on it. Yes, I watched Biggest Loser. And
dude, it's emotional.
Dude, I cried last night. They sent home a guy who didn't deserve to go home. Anyways, I watched it on Hulu for those of you who are like, wait, I thought you said you didn't have a television. I think it's awesome that companies are going after this space. It's been hard because, a lot of times people don't want to have to think about their health. You know, who wants to upload? I'm weird. I actually track my steps and record them in a spreadsheet every day and have cool charts and graphs looking into it because I'm weird and into that.
You actually track it? I knew you tracked it, but you actually write it into a spreadsheet every day? Dude, what the heck is wrong with you?
I think it's cool.
So you need one of these.
I would be so bad with one of these. Yeah. See,
I was going to say, I'm going to talk. I'm going to interrupt for a second. What I really want is a wireless scale that all I do is step on and it keeps track of, like, okay, this is you, and it pushes that data somewhere. And I haven't exactly figured out how I want it to work, but I want it to work, and I want it to work well, and then I'll start looking to see if somebody else has already done it. But I want something where, like, I just step on it, and it tracks me, because I kind of get into, I've been losing some weight, and so I've actually been looking into, like, a Nike Fieldbound or something, like a something that heart rate monitor, just for, you know, for fun. I don't really need one, but it's just kind of cool, because I guess I kind of do get into that data stuff too, but I'm not like you, dude. I could not write it down by hand. If it were to save my life, I would have a very difficult time with that sort of, you know, actually writing it down.
Well, exactly. And you're not alone, which is the biggest problem that a lot of these companies have, right? Where, you know, in order for them to work and to make good recommendations, they need to have tracking of your activity, whatever it is, over time.
Continuous.
And it's, people give up like after a week, you know, and so that's been one of the biggest issues. So it's cool that these types of companies, you know, like the Fitbit or the Nike Fieldband, or I bought a WakeMate thing that kept breaking, unfortunately, so I don't use it anymore, which is for sleeping patterns and, you know, wakes you up in the morning. What those are trying to do is they literally connect to your body. And upload it to some central cloud every day. You know, I think that's cool, which then allows you to do some of those more, you know, deep analytic type of research and make actual recommendations. And I think it's awesome. I'm glad that entrepreneurs are, you know, focusing on this space, because I think it's an important one. And,
right.
You know, eventually, I don't know. It does require some effort on the individual's part, and you know, not everyone's willing to quite go as far as I am. I mean, honestly, the steps are then exercise minutes are the only two things that I really track on a daily basis. Well, that and fuel consumption, but that's different. I don't know. I don't track what I eat, but.
Yeah, but the thing is like, as like you're saying, and as you get into this, the big thing with health and whether and although I break health into two categories, of one is like active, you're trying to train for something, and then the other is preventative, mm-hmm. which is just tracking your overall how you act day to day. One's designed to help you train, the other is designed to just track you, so there's a general knowledge base of your body and how it responds to things, so that you can track.
Well, and if there's some sort of deviation on one of the stats, you go, oh, hold up here, something's going on, and then you can be more active and try to discern it and before it gets to be too late.
Right, exactly. You know, and that's why these are so exciting, is because this is definitely something that's been really, I mean, I was listening to a TED talk probably 2 or 3 years ago, and this has been one of those things that's accelerating. There's a lot of money in the marketplace for it. People care about it, and it can really help, you know, it's cool. It's really cool technology. So it's exciting to see it kind of come out. And then the last other big category that Forbes identified was basically the other half of biometrics, which is identification stuff. So being able to read your fingerprint, being able to do facial scans to identify who you are and what kind of a mood you're in. Are you smiling? Are you happy? Are you frustrated? Stuff like that. So this is like the other half of it, where it's really getting beyond how many steps have you taken, what's your heart rate, what's your, you know, really easy to identify physical characteristics. This is getting into, like, you know, technologies that really kind of can look at you and from a distance sense all sorts of information about you, which is pretty cool, because that really is the other half. And that's used for all sorts of things, whether it's, you know, unlocking your phone and keeping your smart wallet safe, or you know, being able to track your health, or, you know, being able to target ads towards you. You're in a bad mood, so we're going to send you an angry advertisement from these people, and you know, and whatever. Or you're in a, you know, and being able to identify how those ads make you, how you respond to those ads. Do you laugh out loud when you see it? Well, then cool, we'll show that to you one again and next day. And then a week later, it's like, he's not laughing at this anymore. Abort, abort, abort.
It's done.
Next one. And
you know, it's funny. I actually went and watched a football game at a friend's house, because I actually wanted to watch it. And they had, obviously, commercials in between the game. And I was watching, I was like, these are hilarious. These are funny. And I was pretty sure that the only reason why I was entertained by them was because it's been so long since I've actually seen a commercial. So
yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah, these are good and short for a second, do this.
That's funny.
But, yeah.